Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. And I'm delighted, thankful to have good friend, counterpart, buddy, Mr. Danny Holmes from Power Putnam and former law enforcement officer for many years. We're going to talk about that. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Ben. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day. God let me get up and spend another day on top of the earth.
That's right. That's what I tell people. They say, how you doing today? I say, I'm alive. I'm breathing. I'm thankful for that. You'll always be the chief to me, Danny, so I'll probably call you chief 100 times today, but
that's okay, man. That's okay.
So we want to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about awesome stuff, good stuff, but we may get off on anything. And I will say, Danny and I are both county commissioners. We will not talk about county government stuff in Putnam County because we don't want to violate sunshine law.
That's correct.
So he's here for another reason, and he's here to talk about – I'm here to recognize his wonderful career in law enforcement and all the good things he's doing at Power Putnam now. So let's talk – Chief, I know when you got out of high school, you went to the Marines, right?
I did, straight out of high school.
And how long were you in the Marines?
2 years.
2 years. And when you come back, did you go straight into law enforcement?
Straight to law enforcement. I started, I did a short stint in Carthage, Tennessee. That's where I actually got my career. Actually, started when I was 17 years old, but I was getting ready to be 18 and started a very short career down there, and then went into the Marine Corps, came out, and then went to work for the famous Sheriff Jerry Abston.
Sheriff Abston. What a great man. We're going to talk about your career. I'm curious to know. I'm not sure I ever asked you. In high school, did you know you wanted to go Marines? Or did you for a long time, or is it something you decided when you graduated?
I did. Basically, this is a funny story. So, you know how our grandparents always had pictures on the walls? Just the whole walls was covered in pictures. And I had several uncles, and my brother was in the United States Marine Corps, and I would look at those pictures. And I told my grandmother, I said, one day you'll have my picture on the wall. So, and that's how it happened, and it was so great because I had a choice of going to Parris Island or San Diego, and because my brother went through San Diego because when he joined, we lived in the state of Michigan. And so I said, yeah, let me go through San Diego, and it was just a fantastic experience for me. You know, the military way of life is different for a lot of people, and I enjoyed what time I spent there. But, you know, my brother also was in law enforcement when he came here, and that's exactly what I wanted to do.
What's the age difference between you and your brother?
12 years.
12 years, okay. So you had a big brother to look up to.
Oh, let me tell you something. There's just two of us in the family, and I definitely looked up to him. Yeah. He started his career at the Cookeville Police Department, and I joined the cadet program, and this is under Chief Bill Blue. Mm-hmm. So that's many, many years ago, and they would let us ride with the police officers. I had a chance to ride with my brother, and we'd get out and we'd do drills and we'd learn law enforcement. And I just knew that's what I wanted to be.
So, I've been influenced by my family like you have, and my brother's older than me, and he influenced me in sports and other things, and I've always looked up to him. And so you had that as well. And in high school, of course, he's out of high school. When you're in high school, he's no longer there, but you see his career in the Marines and then law enforcement. I guess there's a lot of options for you, but you've always lived in Baxter, right?
Oh, well.
Other than the 2 years in the Marines?
Well,
I'm sorry, Detroit.
Right. I was born and raised in Detroit, and we moved down here when I was 12 years old. I don't tell a lot of people I'm from Detroit.
Yeah.
Because you know how Southern folks are. They don't like Yankees.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
Sometimes.
I'm just kidding.
I know. There's a stereotype sometimes.
Yeah, there is. But so we moved here when I was 12 years old, and I attended Baxter Elementary and then graduated from Upperman High School in 1973, and you know, there's just something about Upperman, and you're a graduate mm-hmm. of Upperman, and it's just a close-knit community. You know, the sports is you know, we talked about that today. Our softball, they're in district play tonight. Our baseball team in district play mm-hmm. tonight, and you know, we see each other at the games, And I will always support the Bees.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big. We're very proud of our schools and their athletics. But I know, speaking of sports, you're a big Detroit Tigers and Detroit Lions fan, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I admit that all the time. But you're from Detroit. You have direct relation to be that. And I know about you were for the Lions in the Super Bowl, and I know it didn't work out. But you and I talked a little bit about that. I love the fact you're passionate about that stuff. So
I really am, and I still have a lot of family in Michigan, and once you're from Detroit, it's always go Big D, and anything that has to do with sports, especially in Detroit, I'm in 100%. And no, it didn't work out for the Lions, but we're going to be back, that's for sure.
What was your parents, why did they want to move away from Detroit?
Well, I'll tell you, my father, He worked at McCord Corporation. He worked in a factory all of his life, worked hard, and they moved to Cleveland, Ohio, McCord Corporation did. And so my father, he went to Cleveland for a very, very short time. We stayed in Michigan while he went to Cleveland. And he comes in one day and says, "Hey, we're packing up. We're moving to Tennessee." And, of course, that's where he's from. My mom and dad, they're from Tennessee. And you're talking about a culture shock. I didn't want to leave. Of course, you know, I've got classmates and friends. But I'm so thankful that he did decide to move back to the state of Tennessee because, hey, we got it good here.
Yeah.
We really do.
Oh, yeah, great area. Baxter is a great part to a place to live, and I, you know, you and I are proud to be from there and serve there. So when you got Marines, did you know while you were serving the Marines you wanted to go into law enforcement?
I did.
Okay.
Definitely.
And so, and you just, when you got home, you got back and you just started.
You know,
working.
One of the things that I wanted to be was a military policeman. I wanted to be an MP, mm-hmm. and they had a height requirement, and somehow I did not meet that requirement. And
do you remember what the requirement was?
Yeah, it was like 5'9", 5'10".
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was 5'6", and it was just kind of a letdown a little bit. But, I understand there's always other jobs. But so when I came out of the when I came out of the Marine Corps, I actually went back to the city of Carthage. So I actually served down there twice, one just for a few months, and then I went back and actually went through the training academy as a Carthage police officer. But what was really neat about it was, I knew these Putnam County Sheriff's deputies and Morris Kronk, bless his heart, rest in peace, mm-hmm. and Kenny Whitaker. I rode with them because I still lived in Baxter.
Right.
So I rode with them to the academy. We went through the police academy. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even completely finished yet. So there was a lot of things that you do today that we didn't get an opportunity to do. And so when I came back and I turned 21 years old, I started working for Sheriff Apston.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the academy then was in Dawson, right? It still is.
And I think we went for maybe 6 weeks at that time, and now it's 12 weeks. So a lot of different, but basically the same thing. You know, you learn about the laws. You learn about, driving. You learn about being a police officer. And we had a great director, Director Grigsby, and he was very stern, mm-hmm. but you knew that he wanted you to be the best of the best.
Yeah. So you started at 21 for Sheriff Apston.
I did.
And do you remember how many actually deputies worked at the sheriff's office?
There were six of us.
Six deputies. Oh, wow. Six deputies in the 76 or so?
76.
Yeah, and six deputies covering the whole county 24/7, right?
Yeah, I made like $440 a month. And and this is really a neat story because so Sheriff Apston told me to come in at 8 a.m., mm-hmm. So I come in at 8, so normally, I think I'm leaving at 4 p.m. We're at the old jail, and I start walking down the sidewalk, and he comes out, and he goes, "Hey, where are you going?" "I'm going home." He said, "Oh, no, 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 you don't get off till midnight." And I'm thinking, 8 a.m. till midnight, that's not very good. But that's what we did.
Wow.
There was only one deputy covered midnight, and that was Freddie Maynard.
Oh,
bless
wow.
his heart, rest in peace. And so on his day off, we had one day off. One day off is all we had.
Wow.
And so on his day off, the rest of us would take his shift.
That's,
it was neat. It really was.
That's
neat.
Interesting. I don't know how much I would enjoy working 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. midnight or 12 a.m. midnight. But you had to with only six deputies,
well,
I guess,
that's
right?
True. And, you know, we weren't quite as busy back then as,
sure.
as they are now,
right.
for sure. But, listen, Sheriff Abston most of the time was there with us from 8 to midnight.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a family thing. So, you know, he would come in at midnight and start cooking up sausage and biscuits, and we'd all gather around. And it was a family. And, you know, we joke about this, but when it went from the old jail to the new Justice Center, things changed. I don't know why, and he can't explain it neither, but it wasn't that tight-knit family anymore that we had.
Bigger didn't mean better.
That's right.
Yeah, so I guess it got bigger and you kind of got away from, and so the old jail, remind me, Chief, was now where is it juvenile?
Juvenile.
Yeah. So, and actually after that was county clerk office for a little
it
while.
It was.
So that building served a purpose for many
it
years.
It sure did. It sure did. And you know, you talk about inmates and, you know, when you, I don't remember how many we held. It wasn't all that many.
Right.
But you kind of got to know them.
Yeah.
You really did.
Because it's not a huge building.
No,
right?
It's not. And, you know, you'd feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a special inmate there, and I won't call his name, but he thought the world of me, and I thought the world of him. He was in and out of jail his whole life.
Well, Chief, you're a likable guy, so, and we're going to talk more about all those fun stories. This is why I like having him on. This is Ben Rogers on Local Matters with former Chief Danny Holmes of Baxter, now Power Putnam. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm with Danny Holmes, former Chief of Police in Baxter, former Sheriff Deputy for Putnam County. I'm still a Marine, I've learned. Once a Marine, you're always a Marine. It's not former Marine, right,
no,
Chief?
No,
you're a Marine, and you always will be. Talked about kind of his inception in law enforcement. I love these stories, Chief. I just it makes me happy to hear them. So you start with Sheriff Abson. There's six deputies total in 1976. And, of course, we mentioned a little bit about moving from the current juvenile detention center to now where the old jail is, and now we have the jails. But what, 92? The Justice Center was 92, 93?
That is correct.
And then now we're adding on, right, currently as the county is. But you mentioned it changed when you went from the small to the big, and you said you became close to an inmate. I think part of what, and I've never been in law enforcement, so this is an outside perspective, but I've also worked with law enforcement folks for 19 years and been inside jails, and I have learned from the really good ones, like the really good sheriffs and chief of police and the good employees, that the ones that really succeed are the ones that actually have an interest in their inmates.
And, that is correct.
And have an interest to see them improve,
well,
and be
sure.
better, instead of putting them in a corner and not paying attention to them. And I know they're there for a reason. They've committed a crime. I understand. You got to do the punishment. But once they're inside, you know, try to rehabilitate them through kindness and through other things. It sounds like to me, and I know you 100%, that's something you would do. How long did you work at the sheriff's office?
I was there for a little over 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
30 years.
Yeah.
So you were under Abston and Andrews?
I was under Sheriff Abston for 26 years.
Okay.
And Sheriff Andrews for 4.
Okay. And then after that, what did you do?
Well, after that, I actually retired, and I was 51 years old and way too young, young to retire. So I went to work at the Kugel Hospital, and I was in security for 4 years. And that was another long day. We'd come in at 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., 12 and a half hours a day. But we worked a week on, week off.
Okay.
So, you know, the week off was fantastic.
Right, right.
The week on was,
that's tough.
Kind of tough.
Yeah.
But so then in 2010, the council needed a chief of police. I think it was Terry Hutchison that maybe had left and went to work for Averett. And So they were looking for a chief, and they talked to me. And, you know, on the beginning, I was very hesitant. I didn't know that, you know, 30 years in law enforcement is a great career. But then, you know, it's my hometown. I live inside the city limits, and I took the job, and I was there for 13 years.
Yeah, and a wonderful job. We're going to talk about that. I want to back up for one thing for a second. Why, you're a law enforcement expert, I think. What is your opinion on the schedules that people in law enforcement work? You said you had to work 7/12s at the hospital. Is there what does a company or a county or a city benefit from working people 12-hour shifts so many days in a row and then let them have all? Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, I do. You know, for us, Baxter's still a small-town police mm-hmm. department. You know, there's 6 officers and a chief, and so to get your coverage, and we didn't even have 24/7 coverage a lot of times because of the manpower. But when you work 12-hour shift, you're off every other Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which kind of lets everybody get a weekend off.
Right.
You know, when I was at the sheriff's office, there was no such thing as having a Friday and Saturday off because that was when we were the busiest. And but so it's kind of, I think 12 hours is a long day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. But I think in small departments, well, even Sheriff Ferris and Coogwell Police Department, I think they also work 12 hours. And it's kind of a benefit that you can get every other Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can't get every Saturday and Sunday off. But, you know, when I was working at the sheriff's office, of course, you know, that was unheard of.
Right.
You just didn't get them because we would check beer joints on the weekend. And it was so funny because Sheriff Abson would have what he called reserves, and they still have them today. And just actually people coming in riding with me. And so every Friday and Saturday, there was 2 of us in a patrol car. And I tell you, it was scary at times. But it was a great, great workplace. Sheriff Abson, I couldn't ask for a better sheriff than him.
Great man. He was a wonderful friend of my uncle, and they worked together on a lot of things. I know you remember that, being there for 30 years. Uncle Bill was a big advocate for Sheriff Abson and the sheriff's office. And I like that perspective on the schedules. I know some people that I talk to that like at 911 or at EMS like that week off.
They
do.
There's no doubt.
They can do so much. They can go on a trip. They can catch up on home stuff and have that week. But I don't know how I would do, Chief, working 7 days, 12 hours a day. I don't know if I would survive. I think I'd be exhausted. But I think it's necessary depending on – and you talked about – we're going to talk about C.D. Baxter. When you started, how many employees did you have at City
Four.
Baxter? Four,
including me.
And when you left last month?
We still have the same 6. I only obtained 2 officers in 13 years.
Wow. So, and I'm not being critical at all. This is the nature of government, right? People get frustrated about somebody not working a midnight shift or not having the coverage they expect. Well, it's all due to money.
Exactly. Now, you know, I've always said – And that was one of the problems that we had in Baxter. You know, we wanted more men, but you have to live within the budget.
Right.
And but now Baxter's booming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of houses are being built. A lot of apartments are being built. So a lot of factories are coming to Baxter. So, you know, the income, the tax base is definitely going to be better and better. And, yeah. And they're going to hire more police officers. You just you know, some of your men don't understand, and you know, it's tough. It's tough to have a budget and live within that budget.
Yeah, and it's hard to grow, right?
It is hard
to grow. And with a city that's growing like Baxter is, eventually they're going to have to invest into more of their people and retain, right?
Because
you said
that's
you were
true.
Able to retain too.
You know, when I started there in 2010, we were driving cars with 200,000 miles on. The roofs were rusted out. It was so funny. I hired Brandon Heron right out of the police academy, and I gave him a car that sometimes would run, sometimes it wouldn't, and he was just amazed. And now when I left, they had 4 brand-new Explorers, which was on a grant
mm-hmm.
from Upper Cumberland Development District, and two new Chargers. So they're in a lot better shape now than they was when I came.
Yeah, well, but that's part of you. I mean, you've worked hard to get to that, and you and the council work together and try to improve the budget and get more, not only people, but you know, equipment, cars, uniforms, the stuff they need to do their job. And I think that's a testament to what the work you did there. And I'm going to brag on you, Chief. I'm allowed to do that. I do host this show, so I'm allowed to brag. You and I started as commissioners in 14, and you had been chief for four years. Yeah, yep. You started in 2010. I'm sorry. And so you'd been, and you're ingrained into the Baxter. Somebody called you on social media the other day, Mr. Baxter. I couldn't agree more. I don't know who else that would be. And so you worked 14 years in the city. You've been a commissioner for, you and I have been there for 10. Your passion for Baxter is great. And with that passion is taking care of your people. So I will say that I think you did a great job of taking care of your people.
I appreciate that, Ben. You know, one of the things that I valued more than anything was taking care of the people, taking care of the businesses, taking care of our schools.
Sure.
And I think everybody in the city of Baxter has my personal cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the schools would call. Coach Ross Fanning would call and say, hey, Chief, can we do this? Can we do that? And I'd say, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I felt like, as the chief of police, that was part of my job. And, you know, one of the greatest things, I guess, that I will always cherish is leading our bees out of town.
Oh, yeah.
That was just fantastic for me.
Yeah, you were accessible, and you were the face, and you want to do those things. So I have former chief, Danny Holmes. I'll get that right in a minute. Here with me on Local Matters. We'll be back in a moment just after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Again, this is Ben Rogers. Excited to have former police chief of Baxter, Danny Holmes, current Putnam County Commissioner, former Putnam County Sheriff's Office deputy, just a wonderful person. And now, in his new career, at the Power of Putnam, we're going to get into that just briefly. Chief, I just, again, want to say thank you for your service to the city of Baxter. I know you made those residents, their mind at ease, you and the employees there. Appreciate all you did there. You know, I think that replacing you is, I don't know if you can, just say it. I'm just going to say it. It's, and I'm not trying to put pressure on the next chief. But the accessibility, as I said before we went off, the visibility, the effort, and the pride that you brought to that city and with your role. And listen, I have seen you interact with all ages, but when you interact with kids, I'm telling you what, they just light up. And I'm going to say that I don't know how we have another law enforcement officer to do that.
Well, I appreciate that, Ben. You know, that was one of the things that I was very proud of. You know, how many kids wants to hang out with an old man? And I feel like I'm an old man anyways. But, you know, I try to make everybody feel special. I really do, because everybody is special,
yeah,
in my book.
I agree.
And these kids, I tell you what, I just love them. All the sports, it don't matter what sports it is. You know, I love football.
Oh, yeah.
Coach Kane, wow.
Yeah.
What an outstanding job,
yep,
he's done. And, of course, the McWilliamses, what can you say about Coach Dana and Coach Bobby?
Yep.
They're the best of the best.
Yep.
And they bring out the best. And you know, I look at some of our kids who's the valedictorian this year, Darcy Hickey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not only are they great athletes, they're great students, you know. And that's another thing. She brings that out in people.
Yeah.
And but one of the things of Baxter, that I will always be Baxter, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, I just valued everything that I had there. And there's a lot of things that I told the council. Maybe I didn't do everything right. Nobody does. But I definitely supported Baxter in every way that I could. You know, like I said, everybody had my personal cell number, and they would definitely use it. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to say this again. Nobody does everything right. Nobody's perfect. But I will say that if there was something you did not do, it wasn't on purpose. Something that would benefit Baxter, right? It wasn't on purpose. It's maybe you were not aware, whatever. But I think you did a fantastic job, and I'll say that forever. And I just appreciate your service to Baxter. My hometown, the town I love, the community I love, I appreciate you being – one of the biggest parts of that success.
Well, thank you, Ben. Yeah. I appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit about the power of Putnam.
Let's do it. I do. I think as soon as you left one job, you were working the next day. I mean, they scooped you up in a second, Chief, and I'm thankful for that. I knew somebody would. Tell me about your role at Power Putnam.
Let me tell you something. So Bill Gibson, our executive director, he's a former Cookeville police officer, a former district attorney. We've been friends for some 40 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. I've been the president of the Power of Putnam for probably the last 10 years. And, you know, every year he'd tell me, are you ready to retire? If you are, I got a spot for you. And I go, no, I'm not ready yet, Bill. But, you know, when that time comes, I'll find out. So back in January of this year, I knew that my time as chief of police was coming to an end. I knew that. And I talked to Bill Gibson, and I said, hey, I think I'm going to be ready. He said, when? I said, well, I think my last day is going to be April the 10th. And he said, can you start on the 11th? And I said, absolutely. So you're right. I went to leaving the city of Baxter on April the 10th, went to work for him on April the 11th. And what a great, you know, it's a coalition.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody is in this together to fight drug abuse. There's no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, it's so funny, our county mayor, Randy Porter, posted where I was a DARE officer mm-hmm. in 1992.
Yep.
And that's because of the late Senator Tommy Burks, who started the DARE program. Yep. Actually, he is the father of DARE in Tennessee. And Sheriff Abston, it's so funny, Ben. I don't know how much time we've got, but so Sheriff Abston calls me in his office. Senator Burks is sitting there, and he said, Senator Burks has handpicked you to be the DARE officer. And I go, what's DARE?
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea. I didn't know what it was.
I get it.
It was. So we sat there, and we had a great time talking, and I had to go to school to learn to be a DARE officer. So I did that for 10 years, from 92 to 2002, and that was probably one of the greatest time that I had in my career, because it's basically the same thing. I would go, I would do lessons, and then we'd go out on the softball field you know, and we would play.
Yeah.
It was so funny. Melissa Campbell from Monterey, when I showed up, class was over.
Yep.
She'd say, here comes Danny.
Yeah.
All right, let's do what Danny wants to do. And we just had a great time. Baxter and All Good and Monterey, you know, had three schools. I stayed busy, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, I will say this. I just missed you. You come in the year after as the DARE officer after I'd left sixth grade in Baxter. That 92 was when I went to the junior high or the seventh grade.
Right.
So I just missed you. You wasn't my DARE officer, and I'm nothing against the one I had, but I'm sad that you were, and I don't remember what it was called, but I'm sad that you wasn't mine. But anyway,
let me tell you, this is really funny. You're gonna love this. So John Ramsey, who is our public works mm-hmm. director in the city of Baxter,
yep.
I had him in DARE.
Yeah.
He was 12 years old, and he was sleeping in my class. So I picked up a dry erase marker, and I threw it at him. And he looked up. It went by his head, and he still remembers that to this day. And we talk about it. You know, John's become a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
His wife and him and my wife, we go out and eat on Friday mm-hmm. night. And but he'll tell me that story, and – I don't really remember doing that, but I'm sure I probably did. But it's just those kids are special. And you know, what's really neat is, of course, I was a sergeant. Well, actually, I was a deputy when I first started teaching DARE.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got promoted to sergeant. So when I would go to, you know, they'd say, Sergeant Holmes is here. Then I got promoted to lieutenant, and they called me Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan. Here comes and still to this day, there is 40-year-old men and women will say, hello, Lieutenant Dan.
I didn't know that.
It's amazing.
That's funny.
It is funny, and I just love it. And they've got kids of their own, and I'll see them in restaurants, and they'll bring their kids up and say, this was my DARE officer.
Yep.
And you know, it's kind of sad that we don't have that program anymore. It was a great program. There's no doubt about that. But I did it for 10 years, and then I was the first Putnam County Sheriff's Officer to do it. And then I don't really know who you had. Do you remember?
Tony Wilson, I think.
Oh, you had Trooper Tony.
Yeah, we called him Trooper T.
Yeah, yep. Trooper T.
And I have no idea if he's still working.
No, he's retired.
Okay, good for him.
But let me tell you something. He was a great, great friend of mine. And of course, when we went to school to become DARE officers, the Tennessee Highway Patrol was the ones that was in charge.
Right.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
They were just outstanding troopers, outstanding in their career. And you know, I think they taught me well.
I've heard of several of my younger friends that had you brag on you as well. And Trooper Tony was great. So I hate that I missed you. Chief, right quick, what is your role at Power Putnam now?
I am the opioid youth services officer. And so I'm sort of back to where I started,
mm-hmm.
Talking to, you know, anytime you need somebody at the church activity or senior citizens activity. Now, schools are just about out.
Right.
So, unfortunately, you know, they're busy this time of year. But when school starts back up, I'm hoping that I can go into there and talk to them about our drug abuse and, you know, the problems that we have. And you know, of course, opioids is painkillers.
Yep.
We all know that.
Yep.
And I know we're about out of time, but, you know, anybody can get hooked.
Yeah.
It don't matter who you are.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the lower class. It's the upper class as well.
Anybody.
So
it does anybody. Not discriminate, right?
No, it does not.
Opioids is a terrible addiction, and it's thankful for Power Putnam and people like you. I'm so happy that Bill Gibson recruited you for years and didn't change his mind. I'm proud of you, Chief. Chief, as a friend, I love you. I'm proud of you. Thank you for everything you've done for our community all over the county, but especially my hometown, Baxter.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate and love you too, buddy.
I appreciate that. Folks, it's been wonderful. I'm going to brag on Chief Holmes just for another second. I've had Danny Holmes here, and the service he's given this community is similar. I put you right there, Chief, with my Uncle Bill. I'm going to tell you right now. The service that you provide for this community has been great, and I appreciate you and look forward to all you're going to do for Power Putnam. And one day I want to bring you and Mr. Gibson back on. So, folks, thank you for your time. I hope you enjoy your weekend. It's going to be hopefully a great weekend. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. Be kind to those people that you run into. As we said earlier, kindness goes a long way. It does not benefit people to be mean. I do not like the rudeness in people. So please be kind, help one another, and we'll see you next weekend.